Now, this is not a meditation where you need to go. Because sometimes the moment one says meditation, everybody goes. You can't sit like that all the time, but it's always the present moment. So with the present moment meditation, it's something slightly different. It's an amazing thing, the present moment. Usually overlooked. So the most amazing thing, I call it thing, of course it's not a thing, the most amazing thing in your life for most people in the normal state of consciousness, and normal means somewhat or very insane, in the normal state of consciousness, the present moment is usually overlooked habitually, unconsciously. People have been conditioned to overlook the most important thing there ever is, because your entire life consists of the present moment. There never has been anything else. Everything happened in the present moment, and when you remember it, it's the present moment. And when you think about the future, which of course never arrives as the future, it can only arrive as the present moment. But people live as if the present moment were undesirable or an obstacle, or they actively dislike it. And some people habitually live actively disliking the isness of the present moment. And that's their normal state of consciousness. Sometimes it's hidden. They smile. So when you become aware of the present moment, and sometimes people realize when I talk about it, all of you of course know all this already, but there may be some tuning in through the media who don't know this yet. When you realize that that's all there ever is, your entire life consists of the now. It can only unfold in the now, which is now. Any emotion you feel, anything you think, anything that happens, any experience, it's all inseparable from the now. But the now to most people is an abstract thing, and not interesting enough. So let's see what that means, and let's make it into meditation. So let's call this our meditation this afternoon, the journey into the now. Usually when you talk about the now, then people, it's usually associated with, okay, the first thing that appears then in your awareness perhaps is your surroundings. And that's already a great step into the now. It's the first important step into the now to become aware of whatever surrounds you, the space that surrounds you, wherever you may be, and whatever takes place in that space. And you may notice when you become aware of those sense perceptions, because it's through sense perceptions that you become aware of whatever happens around you. That involves visual, auditory, and such, to some extent the other senses too. The main ones being visual and seeing and hearing. So as we enter the now, we become more aware of our surroundings. It's the first step into the now. And now, when you do that, and let's do that now, just not as not thinking I'm going to practice now, no, just become more aware of your surroundings. No practice, and it's not a doing, it's just an awareness arises of this room, the people in this room, the man sitting on the chair, talking, the lights, beautiful arrangement there, and that is the space of now. So. So what the word to use is you acknowledge what is, and close to acknowledging, you go a little bit deeper, you appreciate what is. What before, you probably overlooked completely. And that's already a wonderful thing, and there are some people who are not yet ready to go any deeper than that, and that's fine. It's enough to just go two steps into the now. Well, let's just call it three. People like the idea of steps. Let's call it step one, you become more aware of your surroundings. Step two, you acknowledge. And with the acknowledgement comes a sense of the goodness of the ways in which life manifests continuously around you. There is an aliveness in everything. Even in the middle of a city, you might say, oh, I prefer the forest or the beach or the mountains. But even in the middle of the city, whatever happens, all the movements in the middle of a city are manifestations of life. Life manifesting as human beings running around, as cars, as houses, buildings, and noise, and so on. And there's also something there that is fine. It's an acknowledgement of life. And then comes an appreciation. Oh, you might see something that you before had not appreciated, the sky, for example. How many times are you aware of the sky? And say, oh, and it's beautiful. And even a cloudy sky is always this light filtering through the clouds. Now, you might notice when you become aware of the what I call the surface of now, which are the sensory perceptions that reveal the world to you, already a shift in consciousness happens, because now you're not thinking as much. You cannot be very much aware of sense perception and really be looking at the sky or at a tree or a flower or a street scene and be thinking a lot. You have to be really there as the presence. For example, now. So you simply acknowledge the totality of this room. And that's beautiful. And then you go a little deeper still. The next step takes you deeper. Then you can ask yourself, what else is there to the now apart from the things that arise in my sense perception? What else is there? Is there anything else? Is that what the now is? What appears in the now? No. It's what appears in the now, but it's not yet the now. So to become aware of the present moment, to become aware of sense perceptions, is an important step, and some people are so out of touch with their surroundings, they are never where they are. They are in the stream of their thinking, with only enough attention not to bump into things. But that's all the attention they give. They can maneuver their way through the furniture or the streets, but most of their attention is on the stream of thinking. A lot of it, by the way, useless, you might have noticed. And a lot of that negative, too. Critical, complaining, having an issue with this or that, thinking about an unpleasant person yesterday or 10 years ago, and thinking what might go wrong tomorrow or tonight. And all kinds of, it takes you, that consciousness is continuously being absorbed by thinking. and people are in the grip of the stream of thinking. It pulls you along, amplified these days by the digital gadgets. We might be talking about that a little later. The grip of compulsive thinking, where one thing after another arises in your mind and you identify with everything that comes into your mind, amplified, as I said, by the digital stuff, which called, want your attention, this is important, another email coming in, a text message. It must be important. Somebody just posted something on Facebook. And you see a photo of a dinner plate, having dinner at such a... And of course then you have to reply and you say, cool, cool, it's great. And that absorbs all your attention, is continuously being absorbed. It was bad enough before the digital things, but now it gets amplified. More stuff in your mind, stuff, more stuff. And you're drowning in stuff. And I'm not meaning physical stuff, some people also drown in physical stuff, but you're drowning in mental stuff. One thought after another, one text message after another, one Facebook posting after another, one unpleasant memory or anxious thought after another, one complaint after another about other people, what they did and failed to do and should have done but didn't do. But so there's no end to the stuff, and you are missing the present moment. Your attention is absorbed by useless and compulsive thinking. And imagine living like that for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. What that does to your habitual state of consciousness and you as a person. What kind of person does that state of consciousness produce? Anxious, angry, whatever their habitual state is, continuously dissatisfied, continuously needing desperately the next thing, which is never enough. So this is what we are getting out of. Just wanted to show you a little illustration of the normal state. So now we go back into the present moment, and as you become more aware of your sense perceptions, your alertness, and when I say alertness, don't let that be just a conceptual thing. Alertness needs to be something that you can only know what alert awareness is by experiencing alert awareness. You cannot understand conceptually what alert awareness is. And everybody here, I would say, knows already and can verify in their own experience the difference between being absorbed in being identified with the voice in your head, which is habitual compulsive thinking, and being in a state of alert awareness, which looks like this. You don't have to look like that, I'm acting it out. I just wanted to give a visual representation of it. It goes. And you may notice, suddenly, this is called... Now, oh, by the way, there's been a lot of talk about mindfulness here. I just wanted to mention, I never use the word mindfulness, except when I explain why I don't use it. There's nothing wrong with mindfulness, it's just that my preference is to call it presence. Reason being... To me, mindfulness implies that your mind is full, and we don't want that. So, but if you're very welcome to use, it's perfectly fine to use that word. It's just my preference is presence. So what arises here is presence. When you become aware of your sense perceptions, there needs to be less thinking and more presence. So thinking subsides with that alertness that arises. And don't let it just be words now as I speak. You can verify in yourself that there can be a subtle shift from being involved in thinking into suddenly being fully here with your attention. So little thought now, because you can't be fully aware and be thinking. Now the next step down into the now is, as you become more aware of your sense perceptions, you may also sense the simple but beautiful fact that you are alive. And how do you sense that? That sometimes comes naturally as thinking subsides somewhat, alertness remains, and you can feel that there is an aliveness pervading your entire body. Subtle, somewhere, but you can sense that in your arms, your legs, your feet, there is an aliveness. And that can become part of your experience of the now. So now you begin to be present, what we could call present within and present without. So you can sense your own aliveness. If you can't sense it, ask yourself, for those few people here, probably very few, who cannot sense the inner energy field of the body, what I call the inner body, I ask sometimes, if you close your eyes, hold your hands like this, and ask yourself, how can I know without looking or moving my hands whether my hands are still there? It's a funny question. How can I know without looking at my hands or moving my hands or touching anything, how can I know that my hands are still there? And at that moment, you cannot get a conceptual answer for that. You can only get an experiential answer by suddenly experiencing an aliveness inside your hands. And your attention has moved from thinking, has disengaged from the movement of thought, and is flowing into your hands. And in the same way, if you can feel your hands, you can feel your feet at the same time, and that you can feel the entire body as a subtle energy field. And that's a lovely place to be, and that you begin to be more rooted in the now, and you are present within and without. Being in the body, I call that sometimes an anchor for staying present. It can be helpful because the mind is very, the egoic mind, the unconscious mind is very clever, and if you don't, especially as you begin to practice presence, if you don't have an anchor for the present moment, the mind will very quickly come in with a thought, and that thought could be anything, but it will claim to be extraordinarily important. And it will say, follow me. You need to think about this. This requires your immediate attention at 3:30 in the morning in bed. And that thought, of course, may proliferate into other thoughts. Anxious thoughts, regretful thoughts. What if that? What about my whole life? I have to work out my life. It's all been useless. What have I done with my life? What about my life? What is my life? It's a mental construct that you call my life, and you miss the actual life in the present moment. But so you need to know that your thought will, it's very seductive and hypnotic, and it will come in and grab your attention again if you don't know what it's doing. But if you know that this is what it's doing, then you can say, oh, not just say it, you can just be aware that there's another thought that wants to come in. And at that moment when there's an awareness, you don't have to follow the thought. You can just allow it to pass through your mind, and then it's gone again. And then you can say, my choice is to have my attention in the body, and you don't even have to verbalize that. The choice comes, you know that this is your choice, and then you're no longer suffering from an unpleasant, sleepless night. You're actually having a wonderful meditation, and not asking that this moment should be any different from the way it is. And you sense the aliveness in your energy field. That's your life. And the present moment, the aliveness of the present moment. And then perhaps, and now, we can go even deeper. Sense perceptions, acknowledging, appreciating, feeling the energy field in the body, all these things arise in the present moment. And have you missed anything? What is it that makes up the totality of the present moment? It is sense perceptions, feelings. There may be thoughts too, coming and going. You don't have to follow them, but they still come and go, some thoughts. And then there are spaces in between the thoughts. And this is extraordinarily important, to discover that there is such a thing in you as a space between one thought and another. So there's no longer an uninterrupted stream of thinking. Suddenly, you become aware of a space. And that feels extraordinarily good and powerful, and you feel then really, you come to yourself. Not the self that has a story, not the self, the sense of self that is identified with your history, your personal history, but something that transcends your personal history, something that transcends also whatever arises in your sense perceptions. What is it, and the deepest level of now, and actually the essence of now, is this. What is it that enables you to be aware of your sense perceptions? What is it that enables you to have a thought? What is it that enables you to feel your body? So there's something else there that's not a thing, and we could call that your presence, or we could call that the space of awareness, or we could call that consciousness itself. And the most wonderful thing in your meditation is the discovery of yourself, not as a person with a limited history, that dimension still exists, but there is a deeper dimension in you where whatever happened to the person, good or bad, is transcended and becomes irrelevant. A deeper sense of beingness or self, when you can realize that that which makes your sense perception possible, any thought possible, any emotion possible, is the fact that there is the light of presence in you. In that light of presence, you perceive this room. In that light of presence, a thought comes and goes. If too many thoughts come and you no longer have any gap in thoughts, the light of presence becomes obscured. It's still there, but it's like a totally cloudy day. You can't see the sun anymore. It's still filtering through, but you don't know it. All you see is the clouds. And that's normal, the destiny for millions of humans still on the planet. All they know is the stuff in their minds. The entire sense of self is derived from the stuff in their mind. Dreadful fate. But nobody tells us that it's dreadful. It's so normal. If you're born in a mental asylum, then you don't know that everybody is insane, because everybody's the same. So this is what we are going beyond, is what arises, the possibility of entering a different state of consciousness, not just as an isolated experience, as a meditation practice, but to bring that, let's go back into it now, the awareness that you are aware. That sounds a little funny. Can you be aware right now that everything that you perceive or think or feel can only be there because you are there as the space for it, the space of awareness in which that arises? Another question one could ask to point you to that inner reality is to ask, what does it feel like to be you without taking recourse to memory, to be you now, not remembering your story, it's only a story in the mind, but what does it feel like to be you? Now you can only, there's no conceptual answer because I'm asking about an actual experience or realization right now, here, now. What does it feel like? What is the essence of who you are? Can you sense your own presence? Now, when I say your own, it's not totally correct. It's not yours. But let's just put it like for a moment. Can you sense the very presence that you, that is the essence of who you are? And it has no form. It is just spacious awareness. And that's an amazing thing, to know yourself as spacious awareness. That frees you from believing that your personal history is who you are. Because your personal history is not that great. Mine isn't. It would be frustrating if I thought of my personal history. Who I am has come about through transcending my personal history. It's not my personal history showing this great thing. No, it's realizing the relative insignificance of my personal history. So the present, your own presence. So for some people, one pointer works better than another pointer. That's why I give you a choice of pointers, so you can ask yourself, or I can ask you, are you aware, or can you be aware right now of the fact that you are aware? Can you be conscious of the fact that you are conscious? That still sounds dualistic, because I'm using language. But it's only because I'm using language. What really happens when you are aware that you are conscious is not that here is me and here is I'm aware of my consciousness, subject and object. That's not how consciousness, you can't be aware of consciousness like that. You can only be aware of consciousness as yourself, as the eternal subject. Your consciousness can never become something that becomes an object in consciousness. That everything else is an object in consciousness. But you cannot be aware of consciousness as an object because consciousness is you, the essence of you. And that essence of you is the essence of the present moment. So when we go to the deepest level of the present moment, when you go to the deepest level of the present moment, what do you find and what do you discover? Yourself. The essence of you. So the essence of you, which is conscious space, is inseparable from the essence of the present moment. So when you go deep into the present moment, which is the vertical dimension, where most of life unfolds on the horizontal dimension, past and future, I need to do this to get there, and remember this. The vertical dimension is associated with the stuff in your mind, and that keeps you trapped. And now we're here suddenly in the now, the horizontal dimension is the stuff in your mind. The vertical is now. It takes you deeper into the now and to the point of discovery that the essence of now is ultimately who you are. And this is a wonderfully liberating realization, because it frees you from a false sense of self. If you don't realize the essence of who you are, you spend your whole life in a false sense of self, which I call the ego. It's a false sense of self that is derived from mind activity plus emotions that accompany mind activity. And because you're so identified with the mind, an entire sense of self, which is the ego, is derived from certain habitual and repetitive thought patterns, plus emotional and reactive patterns. That bundle of repetitive, unconscious, compulsive thought patterns and reactive and emotional patterns that go with it, that bundle that people who don't know that the deeper levels of who they are, that is called the person. The bundle of habitual thoughts that tell you your story. And you tell it to others too. You want to hear my story? You have suffered? Now listen to my story. Your suffering is nothing. Or as my dad used to say, whenever somebody said, I have a pain here, I have a pain there, you'd say, you have a pain? I've had a pain for years, I don't even talk about it. You can enhance your sense of self in that way. It's all a false sense of self. And you are trapped in that, what the Buddha called the delusory self, the self that has no ultimate reality. So the Buddha said there is no self. The self, anatta in the Pali language, in the old scriptures, the unreality of the self, this mind-made entity. And so the Buddha's teaching was, it pointed, one of the essences in the Buddha's teaching is emptiness. What does that remind you of? Awareness, spacious awareness. Presence, emptiness, no form. Jesus had the same message. The kingdom of heaven does not come with signs to be perceived. What does that mean? It means you can never say, oh, there it is. Why can't you say, oh, there it is? Because you are it. It can never become an object in your consciousness, because it is consciousness itself. And people have been repeating the words of Jesus for 2,000 years, who has understood them? Very few, maybe one or two Buddhists. So this is the secret of life, and it's so simple. To know who you are. Know who you are beyond the surface self. And it doesn't mean you can't remember your history anymore. Of course you can remember your personal history. That's fine. But you are no longer trapped in that exclusively personalized sense of me. It's such a frustrating way to live. It's just in this little me. Always feels threatened by things and needs to identify with other things, and never feeling complete, never feeling satisfied for very long, always a sense of not enough. Awful way to live. So we are transcending that, and that's the shift in consciousness. And then as you bring in into your daily life that spacious awareness, the awareness of yourself as spacious consciousness, which you can also call stillness. There's a stillness. Even as you speak, you can still feel the underlying presence. In the foreground, you speak, you listen, you do things. In the background, a spacious awareness. In other words, you sense your own presence. which is not your own, because it's your own presence is one with universal presence. You might have noticed I don't use the word God, because the moment you use God, it becomes another concept in your mind. So the Buddha very wisely avoided it. And when they asked the Buddha, "You never talk about God," they said to the Buddha, "Why is there a God?" And of course, and this is the end of our meditation, the Buddha's answer was, as reported in the scriptures, when he was asked, "Is there a God?" the Buddha kept noble silence. That's the answer. Thank you.